Today is the 11th day of June. Welcome. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am grateful to be here with you today. And I hope you are grateful to be here with everybody else. Hopefully, a lot of gratitude. That is one of the beautiful distinctives that are visible in our community. We are grateful that God is like letting us live at a time where we can have a global campfire and just have a safe place like this. I'm grateful. And I look forward to it every day. It's the rhythm of our lives. We've gotten ourselves into a relationship with the scriptures and have realized that, man, multiple years go through this multiple times. Well, we don't just read the Bible. The Bible reads us. And that is a fascinating thing indeed, and a gift from God. So glad to be here with you today. Let's jump in, take the next step forward. We are moving through the time where the ancient children of Israel have reached their finest hour under the reign of Solomon, their king, the wisest to ever live. He's proverbial until this day and is responsible for so many of the proverbs that we read in the Bible. And he's leading Israel to their finest hour, a temple to the Most High God has been constructed in Jerusalem, the first of its kind. God had always traveled around with his people in a tent, just like they lived, and was always in the center of their camp. Now there is a permanent dwelling that has been made, and it's about to be dedicated. 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon gathered together the elders of Israel, including all the heads of the tribes and the leaders of the ancestral households of the Israelites, to meet with them in Jerusalem so they could bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Zion, the city of David. So all the men gathered together to meet with King Solomon at the Festival of Tents in the month of Ethanim, the seventh month. All the elders of Israel showed up, and the priests picked up the ark and brought it, the tent of meeting, and all the holy implements that were in the tent. The priests and descendants of Levi carried them up to Jerusalem. King Solomon and the entire congregation of Israel that had assembled to be with him stood in front of the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they were neither counted nor inventoried. After this, the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to the place prepared for it, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, under the wings of the cherubim in the most holy place. The wings of the cherubim spread over the resting place for the ark, so that the cherubim made a covering over the ark and its poles when viewed from above. The poles extended so far that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. They remain there to this day. The ark was empty except for the two stone tablets that Moses had placed there at Horeb when the Lord had made a covenant with the Israelites after they had come out of the land of Egypt. When the priests left the holy place after setting the ark in place, the cloud filled the Lord's temple so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, since the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he lives shrouded in darkness. Now I have been constructing a magnificent temple dedicated to you that will serve as a place for you to inhabit forever." Then the king turned to face the entire congregation of Israel, while the congregation of Israel remained standing. And Solomon prayed, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who made a commitment to my father David and then personally fulfilled what he had promised when he said, 'From the day I brought out my people Israel from Egypt, I never chose a city from all the tribes of Israel to build a temple where my name might reside. I have chosen David to be over my people Israel.' My father David wanted to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. The Lord told my father David, "Therefore, since you determined to build a temple for my name, you acted well, because it was your choice to do so. Nevertheless, you are not to build the temple, but your son who will be born to you is to build a temple for my name." The Lord has brought to fulfillment what he promised, and now here I stand, having succeeded my father David to sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised. I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. I have placed there the ark in which the covenant is stored, that the Lord made with our ancestors when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon took his place in front of the Lord's altar in the presence of the entire congregation of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no one like you, God in heaven above or on the earth below, who watches over his covenant, showing gracious love to your servants who live their lives in your presence with all their hearts. It is you, Lord God, who have kept your promise to my father, your servant David, that you made to him. Indeed, you made a commitment to my father David and then personally fulfilled what you had promised today. Now, therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep your promise that you made to my father, your servant David, when you said, 'You will not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel.' If only your descendants will watch their lives to live in my presence, just as you have lived in my presence. Now, therefore, God of Israel, may your promise that you made to your servant David, my father, be fulfilled. And yet, will God truly reside on earth? Look, neither the sky nor the highest heaven can contain you, how much less this temple that I have built. Pay attention to the prayer of your servant and to his request, Lord my God, and listen to the cry and prayer that your servant is praying in your presence today. Let your eyes always look toward this temple night and day, toward the location where you have said, 'My name will reside there.' Listen to the prayer that your servant prays in this direction. Listen to the requests from your servant and from your people Israel as they pray in this direction. Listen from the place where you reside in heaven, then hear and forgive. If a man should sin against his neighbor, and he is required to take an oath, and he then comes to take an oath in front of your altar in this temple, then listen in heaven, act, and judge your servants, condemning the wicked by bringing back to him the consequences of his choices, and by justifying the righteous by recompensing him according to his righteousness. If your people Israel are defeated in a battle with their enemy because they have sinned against you, when they return to you and confess to you, pray, and in this temple they ask you to show grace to them, then here in heaven, forgive the sin of your people Israel and return them to the soil that you gave to their ancestors. When heaven remains closed and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and they pray in the direction of this place, confessing your name and turning from their sin when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and of your people Israel. Indeed, teach them the best way to live and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as an inheritance. If a famine comes to the land, or if plant diseases, mildew, locust, or grasshoppers appear, or if their enemies attack them in their settlements of the land, no matter what the epidemic or illness is, whatever prayer or request is made, no matter whether it's made by a single man or by all of your people Israel, each praying out of his own hurting heart and anguish, and stretching out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, the place where you reside, and forgive, repaying each person according to all of his ways, since you know their hearts. For you alone know the hearts of all human beings. So they will fear you every day and live on the surface of the land that you have given to our ancestors. Now concerning the foreigner who is not from your people Israel, when he comes from a land far away for the sake of your name, for people will hear of your great name, your mighty acts, and your obvious power. When he comes in praise facing this temple, then hear in heaven where you reside, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the people of the earth may know your name, fear you, as do your people Israel, and so they may know that this temple that I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to war against their enemies, no matter what way you send them, and they pray to the Lord in the direction of the city that you have chosen, and in the direction of the temple that I have built for your name, then hear their prayer and their request in heaven, and fight for their cause. When they sin against you, because there isn't a single human being who doesn't sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them over to their enemy, who takes them away captive to the land that belongs to their enemy, whether near or far away, if they turn their hearts back to you in the land where they have been taken captive, repent and pray to you, even if they do so in the land of their captivity, confessing, "We have sinned, we have committed abominations, and practiced wickedness." If they return to you with all of their heart and with all of their soul, in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive, as they pray to you in the direction of their land that you have given to their ancestors, and to the city you have chosen, and to the temple that I have built for your name, then hear their prayer and requests in heaven, where you reside, and fight for their cause, forgiving your people who have sinned against you, along with their transgressions by which they have transgressed against you. Show your compassion in the presence of those who have taken them captive, so they may show compassion on them, since they are your people and your heritage, which you brought out of Egypt from an iron fire furnace. Do this so your eyes may remain open to the requests of your servant and to the requests of your people's prayers, to listen to them whenever they call out to you, because you have separated them to yourself as your heritage from all the people of the earth, as you spoke through your servant Moses when you brought our ancestors out of Egypt, Lord God. When Solomon had completed saying this entire prayer to the Lord, he got up from kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven in the presence of the Lord's altar, stood up, and blessed all of the assembly of Israel in a loud voice. He said, "Blessed is the Lord, who has given security to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one of his promises has failed to come about that he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, just as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us or abandon us, so that he may turn our hearts toward him, so that we may live life his way, keeping his commands, statutes, and ordinances that he gave to our ancestors. And may what I've had to say to the Lord remain with the Lord our God both day and night, so that he may defend the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, as the need of the day may require it, so that in turn all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Now let your heart be completely devoted to the Lord our God, to live according to his statutes and to keep his commands, as we are doing today." Then the king and all of Israel with him offered sacrifices to the Lord. Solomon offered peace offerings to the Lord consisting of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the Israelites dedicated the Lord's temple. That same day, the king consecrated the middle court that stood in front of the Lord's temple, because that was where he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and fat from the peace offerings, and because the bronze altar that was in the Lord's presence was too small to hold the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and fat from the peace offerings. So Solomon observed the festival of tents at that time, as did all of Israel with him. A large assembly came up from as far away as Lebo Hamath and the Wadi of Egypt to appear in the presence of the Lord our God, not just for 7 days, but for 7 days after that, a total of 14 days. The following day, Solomon sent the people away as they blessed the king. Then they went back to their tents, rejoicing and glad for all the good things that the Lord had done for his servant David and to his people Israel. Acts 7:51-8:13. You stubborn people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors fail to persecute? They killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you haven't obeyed it. While they were listening to these things, they became more and more furious and began to grind their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they shouted out loud, stopped listening, and together they all rushed at him, ran him outside of the city, and began to stone him to death. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they continued to stone Stephen, he kept praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." After he had said this, he died. Now Saul heartily approved of putting Stephen to death. That day a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and everyone except for the apostles was scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen as they mourned loudly for him, but Saul kept trying to destroy the church. Going into one house after another, he began dragging off men and women and throwing them into prison. Now those who were scattered went from place to place preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began to preach the Messiah to the people. The crowds, hearing his message and seeing the signs that he was doing, paid close attention to what was said by Philip. Unclean spirits screamed with a loud voice as they came out of the many people they had possessed, and many paralyzed and lame people were healed. As a result, there was a great rejoicing in that city. Now, in that city was a man named Simon. He was practicing occult arts and thrilling the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest paid close attention to him, saying, "This is what we call the great power of God." They paid careful attention to him because he had thrilled them for a long time with his occult performances. But when Philip proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and about the name of Jesus the Messiah, men and women believed and were baptized. Even Simon believed. And after he was baptized, he became devoted to Philip. He was amazed to see the signs and great miracles that were happening. Psalm 129, a song of ascents. God defeats Israel's enemies. Since my youth, they have often persecuted me. Let Israel repeat it. Since my youth, they have often persecuted me, yet they haven't defeated me. Wicked people plowed over my back, creating long-lasting wounds. The Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. Let all who hate Zion be turned away and be ashamed. May they become like a tuft of grass on a rooftop that withers before it takes root. Not enough to fill one's hand or to bundle in one's arms. And may those who pass by never tell them, "May the Lord's blessing be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." Proverbs 17:1. Dry crumbs in peace are better than a full meal with strife. Okay, so it may not have felt as dramatic as it actually is, but monumental things are happening in the Old and the New Testaments today. So first, we have this grand national pageantry and celebration, the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, the first temple, the Solomonic temple, as we know it. The Ark of the Covenant that had traveled so far with the children of Israel, all the way back to Moses, is installed in the most holy place inside the temple, and the presence of God descends in a thick cloud. And Solomon prays words of dedication and worship. He pleads with the Lord that whenever prayers were prayed toward the temple, that God would hear and answer his people and be merciful. And he spoke a blessing, and we talk about this when they come up. And it just came up. We just talked about this. A blessing spoken over us can absolutely change the atmosphere inside of us. So he prays a blessing over the people. Praise the Lord who was given rest to his people, just like he promised. Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises he gave through his servant Moses. And so the priests are offering multitudes of sacrifices. They are initiating the functions of the temple for the first time to be ongoing in perpetuity. Like, this is the beginning of the rhythm. And for the next 2 weeks, the people are observing the dedication of the temple, celebrating the festival of shelters. And so as we go into this territory in 1 Kings, this is the beginning of the apex that we've been talking about for a couple days, the pinnacle of ancient Israel's existence and culture. So we've taken this journey going all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to the book of Genesis, and it's climaxing in this dedication to the temple in the early reign of Solomon. And then in the book of Acts today, we're experiencing something monumental. The first recorded martyrdom because of the name of Jesus. So Stephen, and we've been walking through this for days, has been proving his pedigree, proving he's a Hebrew, proving he knows his story, proving he's not blaspheming, proving that he doesn't deserve to be on trial. But when he gets to the end of his testimony, I mean, the way his concluding statements ultimately do not go in his favor, because he's not only connected Jesus to the ancient Hebrew story, but he suggested the people's culpability in killing Jesus, the righteous anointed one of God. This enraged the people that are listening. And so they're grinding their teeth at him, covering their ears. They're screaming at him and dragging him out of the city to stone him to death. And I mean, in Jerusalem until this day, there's a place called St. Stephen's Gate. And, you know, there it's just a gate, but and it's just paved. You know, it wouldn't have been asphalt back then, but you come out of that gate and that's the traditional spot where Stephen was dragged out and then stoned. And you can, I mean, it's hard to imagine the violence of what we are talking about here. We can kind of glaze over it, but it's not like this massive area for being, it's like he's going to be gang mobbed and you know, like kicked and stoned till he dies. And so there's this big circle around him. He can't get out. It's thick with people. And the blows just start coming down upon him. And the stones are flying, and they're not like pebbles. They're like bricks. And he's just being smashed, and he could fall to the ground and somebody could walk up and smash him in the head. And so there's blood flowing everywhere, and he's trying to stand up and ask God to forgive these people. While they come and kick him, and he falls, and somebody else smashes him, and they're throwing these large jagged like stones. They're just lacerating, cutting deep, breaking bones, crushing. You know, until there's the death blow coming from somewhere where he asks God to forgive them, and then he loses consciousness, never to regain it again, because his brain is swelling and, you know, blood is coming out of his eyes and ears, and he's dying. And yeah, we're not talking about something just really generic here. He was sentenced to death, and then they killed him, and it was over really quick. This wasn't over really quick. And so for him to reach a state of just reaching for God beyond the pain of what's happening in his physical body as it's being killed, this is the first recorded event. It won't be the last, because the church moved forward on the blood of those who would not deny the name of Jesus. Their blood paved the way. And so from that point, the rage at Stephen, you know, might have subsided, but we've met this person named Saul. And we got a lot of miles to travel with this guy. But he's standing there, like, enjoying the killing. Enjoying it. And a great persecution is initiated after this. The church in Jerusalem is under dire threat, and Saul is a ringleader. He's literally trying to wipe the name of Jesus from the lips of anyone who would dare utter it. And so any believer in Jesus in Jerusalem were being they're being dragged out of their houses and beaten. But the attempt to stamp out the name of Jesus had the opposite effect. So people flee the persecution to try to find a safe place where they can then share the gospel, and they do. And so this persecution disperses people in fear, and the gospel goes with them wherever they go. And the good news spread all over the world from this point, a monumental point, because we're the recipients. We are here today because of it. There are still many in this world, obviously, who have not been influenced and who have not believed in eternal life through Jesus. But the good news that progressed forward because of the blood of the martyrs like Stephen, this is the ongoing work in the world, and we are to participate. It's not something that we were just supposed to be recipients of. We're recipients of what cost true blood and true lives in the millions over the years we're not the recipients of the good news. We receive it, and then we are to participate, participants, in the furthering of the good news. And that comes in a lot of different forms, but it comes mostly out of the truth of our lives. Are we a hypocrite like everybody else? Or are we the same inside as we present on the outside? Because that is what's compelling. Because that's what healing actually is. We're not hiding anymore. Remember day two of our journey, January 2nd, when we saw our ancestors naked and ashamed? We've been naked and ashamed of exposure ever since, every single one of us ever since. Freedom is naked and unashamed, exposed and nothing to hide. That is compelling, because that is freedom. May we walk on that path, the narrow path that leads to life. And Holy Spirit, come. We recognize monumental events in the scriptures, and their implications are profound. And they affect us until today. And so, Holy Spirit, plant these truths and these understandings deep in the soil of our hearts. And may they yield fruit of healing within us, that we might participate in the restoration of all things. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. So, jump over to the website or go to the app store that works with your device and grab the app. This is home base. By far, the most comprehensive way to move through the community, move through the scriptures. And so certainly grab the new app. I've been talking this week about a brand new resource, long in the making. They're all long in the making, but long in the making and really, really well, really well thought out. The spiritual connection cards. And like I've been saying all week, go back to Monday. I told the whole story there, but this really came through a lot of pain and prayer to really consider what are the things that block communication in our relationships, and is it any different with God? Like, when we feel estranged or distant from God, isn't it usually because there's a breakdown in communication? And isn't that usually because something happened that caused us to move into doubt and mistrust, right? Isn't that, when we start to doubt and mistrust in a relationship, communication breaks down, and that it's in a spiral, and it will crash eventually. Because there will be acting out that is unbelievable in some way, somewhere. And that is no different than what we do with God, right? Look at ourselves. Look at our lives. And so what if, what if there was just a simple way to have a conversation starter about any number of things that may really, really be difficult for us in our mental and spiritual health. And we created that. Jill and I had, and many of you, there's so many decks out there with so many questions that are like so good for relationships and friendships, and some, funny ones, and but actually really serious mental health ones as well. This is meant to be kind of a serious spiritual direction piece for our community here, where there are 54 cards and half of them are questions, conversation starters to God. how we would maybe start that conversation to build that relationship and restore communication. But then lest we think God is the culpable one here, we might have to understand that we have committed ourselves to a relationship with God that is exclusive, and he may have some questions looking at our lives. He may have some questions like, you know, to reestablish connection and communication. And this is the purpose and intent of the spiritual connection cards, and you can find them in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, the new Daily Audio Bible Shop, either at the website or in the app. And they have been like literally already getting such feedback that is so, like, it doesn't bring up pride, it brings up a fulfillment that we were listening and we were obedient, and now God can work through that obedience and seeing relationships restored with God. That is fulfilling work and worth it. And so I encourage you to get yourself some of these. Maybe you're thinking, man, I know so many people that are in this boat. As we kind of roll them out, if you grab five of these decks, we'll send you another one for free, so that you can have one and give the other ones away if you want to. And so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. Thank you. Humbly, deeply, profoundly, none of this is happening. None of us are here if we're not in this together, and that has always been the case. So thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage, dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. I'm recording on June 8th, and this is your fellow traveler up in Maine. I was just leaving a quick note about the fact that Brian, my mom, is in heaven as well. She's been there 20 years. So, and been there since 2006. So we have quite the community up in heaven as well as here. Not that I want to go in anytime soon or that I have any intention of going, but I'm looking forward to going and seeing everybody. Y'all can pray for my friend Adrian. He is leaving to go home soon. His kidneys are failing, and he has stopped dialysis because of the quality of life. Just pray for Adrian's family. He was a paramedic. He was the head of where he worked, so there will be definitely a miss there. So I love you, DAB family. Have a great rest of your week. Looking forward to sharing the week with you. Bye-bye.
Hi, neighbors. It's Lisa the Encourager. I wanted to pray for Taken with Love from Louisiana. You have such a beautiful spirit and a positive impact on this app and this Daily Audio Bible community. And I just want you to know, ever since I heard your diagnosis of esophageal cancer, I have been praying for you. And I just want you to know I stand with you in that every cell in your body can be healed and cured, and that your immune system will fight this cancer, and that God will see it through to the end, and that you will be healthy again. And I just want you to know you are very special. You've been such a bright light. Every time you call in and you pray for others, I just am so inspired by you. So I just wanted to pray for you. So dear Heavenly Father God, we give this to you. We give this esophageal cancer. We give this diagnosis. We give Taken with Love from Louisiana. We just pray over her, Lord, that you will just be with her throughout this journey. We pray, God, that you will intervene and cure her body from any cell in her body that is not perfect, Lord. And we just pray that she will continue to lean on you as she always does. And she is such a beautiful spirit, such a wonderful influence on us all, Lord. And we thank you for her, and we thank you for her kindness and love that she just exudes every time she calls in. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Help her to sleep well. Help her to have peace. And just send your angels to hold on to her hand and comfort her through this journey. In Jesus.
Howdy, DAB family. This is Darren Marichini in College Station, Texas. And I am asking for prayer for my wife, Lynn Marichini. She is going to be taking her law portion of her pharmacy licensing exam tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And it's a big scary exam for her. But she's been studying hard, and I would just pray that she would have confidence and peace throughout the exam, and that Lord willing, she would pass it the first time she takes it. Thank you, family, for your prayers. Once again, this is for Lynn Marichini studying for the law portion of her national pharmacy exam. Thanks again, family. Appreciate you.
Good morning, Dabbers. This is Crucified with Jesus in Texas. And I'm having my morning walk. That's a rainy day. And I was just finishing with today's podcast, and I wanted to pray for everybody right now that is going through stage 4 cancer. My son had stage 4 cancer, and I was his caretaker for 2.5 years. So I wanted to also pray for the caretakers, because it's a I know for a fact a trauma to go through that. I always think about the fact that I was the first one receiving all the bad news from a doctor, because I was with him 24/7. I was also receiving all the good news. But he's been gone for 2 years, and it's been a very hard road. But the Lord sustains me with the promise that I will be with him when the Lord calls me. So I want to pray for everybody going through cancer, stage 4 cancer, because usually doctors don't give us a lot of good outcomes. And so we need our faith and our strength more so at that moment. Praying for the caretakers, and also praying for everybody going through a hard season in life. My good news is that all my medical issues have cleared. I don't have anything. Biopsies went fine. And also I'm having a new grandbaby coming up in December, and that'll be my second The Lord is good.
Hello, DAB family. This is Rob Still, worship dude from Nashville, Tennessee. It is Sunday, June 7th. I'm on a missions trip in Brazil. We left on Friday, arrived yesterday, Saturday, had some ministry Saturday night, and just finished a full day of ministry here. And I wanted to call and just request prayers first for health and safety and God's protection over our team. I'm part of a team of about 40 people, and we have a lot of traveling, and we have a very full schedule, and so just pray that everybody is able to serve with good health, and everybody is able to serve well. And of course, there's always challenges in that area, so I'm just calling to ask for intercession for our team. Secondly, man, we really want to pray for alignment with God's kingdom purposes for this particular project. We're serving in the Flavias outside of Rio for a few days, and then we're doing a series of revival meetings in the interior of Brazil. I'll be leading worship, and we're encouraging the church there, ministering to literally thousands of people. So we pray that Jesus would be exalted, that the people here would be strengthened, that there would be salvation and healing and deliverance. And finally, I just want to say thank you to everybody in the DAB community. You guys are prayer warriors and you are intercessors, and I'm so very grateful for your prayer partnership for our missionaries. Remember your missionaries, whoever they are, and thank you so much. Man, may the Lord richly bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Cherish's daughter. I would appreciate your prayers as I have breast cancer surgery on June 10th. The surgery is not expected to be extensive. The bigger concern is for subsequent treatment. There's potential for it to be more invasive with a higher risk of spreading to other parts of the body. The specialists say it is discordant and doesn't fit the pattern. It may not be responsive to chemo and hormone therapy. Please pray with me for God to guide the surgical team and to give special knowledge and skills to the whole team to come up with an effective treatment plan. I'm claiming Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Thank you.